Amen. It is so good to see each of you this morning. I'm glad you're here with us, and I hope you enjoyed the conference that we had this past week. And it's a lot to learn, a lot to take in, and I appreciated the way that we actually had some time to ask questions, you know. And I think that is, being that he is Jewish, I think that fills in a lot of the gaps that we might have had. You know, wondering about what they believe in some ways, some of the things that we've seen in the Bible, some of the things that we see going on today. And I just think that helped fill in a lot of gaps. And it was just wonderful also to hear that harp. That was something completely different. I'd never experienced anything like that. But that was a wonderful thing to have, and just a joy to have them with us. And it's good to kind of break out of the shell every now and then, do something different. I mean, you kind of get locked into talk a little bit about this today, traditions or what have you, but it's good to get outside of things a little bit, as long as you're not outside the gospel and as long as you're not outside the Word of God. You got to stay inside of His Word. That being said, if you will, let's be turning to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. You know, I enjoy having preachers come visit with us and what have you, but I also am thankful for the desire to preach His Word. I was ready to get back. It's kind of one of those things. It's like, I remember when Josh was playing basketball when he was younger. I'd like to watch the game and just watch and have him sit with me. He'd watch about 2 or 3 minutes and he wanted to go play. And I was like, no, let's just watch the game, you know. But it's like that kind of with preaching sometimes. You're used to preaching and somebody gets up and is preaching. It's kind of like, no, I got to do that. I'm thankful for the call of God on my life and what He's doing for me and doing for us and doing for our church. And I do want to make mention also that Brother David Youngblood will be with us on Wednesday night. He's our missionary to Alaska, one of our missionaries to Alaska, so I wanted to make mention of that. And I want to say this morning. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you as a church. It was really good to spend time with you this week and just get to talk afterwards. And one of the things that Brother Freed said, he said, standing there at the back each night, but he mentioned one night, he said, they're not leaving. And I was like, oh no, they usually will stay and we'll talk and kind of fellowship and everything. And he looked down at his watch and he said, I could have went another hour. And I was like, well, we'll fellowship, you know. We'll just keep talking. But it was good. It's good to have that time and just discuss some things with him after the service. And it's been a blessing to me. And when you look at it, the way he did that study or that portion on Matthew 24, I'm glad that we were able to do that in one block. I know it's a lot. The teachings and things I've seen on that, it's hard to do that in like a 30-minute to an hour block. It's literally like a 2-hour study to go through that and pull out all the different scriptures to show you what it means and how you place it together and how important it is that you have your timeline in the right place. If you get that off, it makes everything not make sense. And you try to make it before the rapture, after the rapture. And I've heard people say this and say that and gets all kind of confusing. But if you can keep that right in your mind, it will absolutely help you when you're studying the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, some of those prophecies that you see. It really does unlock those. So I'm thankful for that time that we had. And excited this morning about this message. It's something that the Lord had laid on my heart with Brandy being away and Josh not being at home so much the last couple of days. Had some time at home and again, a time of reflection. And it's just good sometimes to think about the day that you were saved. I was thinking about that and kind of looking back in my life, because if you really want to think about where you're going, I think it's good to reflect on where you've been or where you came from, not to forget where you come from. I know a lot of times in the Bible or in teachings, we say don't look back, for if a person looks back or puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. I'm not talking about looking back on negative things in life, but I believe that it is very good for you and I when we can look on where God has brought us through. That's our testimony. The things that we faced in life, humble beginnings maybe, and different things, and how the Lord leads and guides, and what we see once a person has accepted Christ, once you see what He can do with your life when you're obedient to Him, I think it's very good to reflect on those things. You and I have a lot of decisions to make from time to time, and moving forward, that's just how it is throughout life. Big decisions, some things we make on our own, so to speak, or we want to make on our own, and other things we're forced into making a decision. But we're seeing something very interesting here that I think, looked at a few different places in study this week, but the Lord really laid this on my heart about Paul's, part of it's about Paul's conversion, and just how it's important that we reflect on those things and what we draw to. It's important that we go back and pull from the Word of God and not what we think we know. We've heard a little of this sometimes, heard a little of that sometimes, maybe can't remember where we picked this up or picked that up, and if you're not careful, you'll adopt that as doctrine when it is not. Many times I've heard people say the Bible says whatever, and the Bible doesn't say that at all. They've heard that and they think that the Bible says it. I think it's important that we really see where our doctrine comes from and really focus on that. I'll read these verses here, Galatians chapter number 1, verses 11 through 17. Paul talking to the church of Galatia here. Very interesting, because this was a church, if you remember, the church, Paul had given them the gospel. He'd explained to them how it was supposed to be, but then you had the Judaizers coming in. They tried to mix and mingle different faiths, and that you can't do that. I want to tell you this morning, doctrine is important. That's the foundation of what we do. I know the word sometimes fundamentalist or what have you is kind of a scary word to some people, but it's just the fundamental beliefs of the Bible that we need to focus on, not trying to spiritualize it or over-spiritualize it, but take it literally in what it says. That keeps things pretty simple when you do that. You can try to spiritualize things sometimes and maybe get off, but if you stay in the doctrine, that will keep you where you and I are supposed to be. Verse 11, it says here, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it out of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited the Jews' religion above many, my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither I went up to Jerusalem to them which are the apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this week that we've had together as a church, Lord, just being able to be together. I appreciate that, Lord, the time of fellowship during the service, after the service, the wonderful teachings, Lord, from your word, the beautiful music played. God, I appreciate how the sister played. You can see that she enjoyed it, Lord. She puts her heart into it, and that's a blessing, God. I appreciate how I see that same from our choir, Lord, those who play, and Brother Nathan that leads, and those who sing, God. It's so important that we put our heart into what we're doing, Lord. We don't just get kind of caught up in traditions or get caught up in routines or anything like that, God, but that we be thankful for what we have in you, Lord, our salvation. God, I can't thank you enough for the day you saved me. It's so wonderful just to reflect on that and look at that time, where I was at in that time of life up to this time, Lord, knowing that you brought me through it all, even those valleys that I brought upon myself or hardships I brought upon myself. God, you were merciful, God, graceful to me, and just saw me through those things, Lord. And if we learn to be obedient unto you and follow you, God, you will give us what we need. You'll show us, Lord. You'll teach us. God, I pray you teach us out of your word here today. God, I pray that your spirit lead us and guide us. God, my words and my thoughts, Lord. Help everyone here. Help us to focus, God, and take away from this today, Lord, what you'd have us to. Lord, you laid it on my heart. You laid it on my heart for a reason. God, I pray for those today that are lost. God, I pray that you'd help them see their need of salvation, Lord. Help them, God. Help them, give them the courage, Lord. Help them to see the right way, God. Help us, Lord. God, go with us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to our time of fellowship after church and do want to invite everyone to stay with us with our meal. It's our Easter meal we're having a little early, but having that today. And I thought about maybe preaching an Easter message. Then I thought, well, what would I preach on Easter? So we'll save that for closer time there. But just pray for me this morning that the Lord would be uplifted and give what he'd have us to say, and just that it would help us. I want us to be helped and see what the Word of God says. So often I think we try to confer with people when we need to be conferring with God. And that's something very important. I've learned throughout my life when I don't follow after crowds and all that kind of thing. My thing has kind of been just trying to stay with the Lord. It's easy to get other people's opinions. How many people we have here today? I can get opinions, but sometimes you need to hear directly from the Lord. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I think you'll see that with Paul here today. He's giving his credentials, and he's talking to the early church, one of these early churches. Again, they're used to the law, the Mosaic law. Heard a lot about that last week. I think this will kind of tie in together with some of those things. And so when Paul here is trying to explain to the Jewish people who had been under the law what the grace of God is all about, it presented some challenges. I think sometimes maybe they're saying it just can't be that easy. What about all this law that we've had to follow, all these things we've had to do for the remissions of sin, for that partial just covering, that temporal covering? It can't be that easy. I tell you, we are the ones who make it hard. I want you to see how Paul mentions this here in just a minute, how he refers to what the Jewish faith is like, or what it has become. We see here in verse number 11, or first and foremost, what he's talking about here is salvation. Salvation is what? Is salvation faith plus works? Yeah, that's right, Brother Sheldon. He's shaking his head no. It's faith plus nothing, right? I'm thankful for that. You imagine if you had to work, Brother Terry, there's some days I'm ain't worth striking a lick. I'm just going to be honest. I thank God it's not about works, because some days I feel like I might be on and doing pretty good, but there's a lot of days that I don't feel like I'm on at all. Now you imagine if our faith, if our salvation relied on works, we'd all be in a mess. Every single one of us. You know, it ain't about trying to do a pretty good job. I'm thankful God is the one who holds that in his hand. It's not of the law or of works. It's justification by faith and faith alone. And that's what Paul was trying to teach these people here. He's trying to explain to them, listen, it's not about works or anything you can do after you get saved you should want to do for the Lord. But what he's saying here, it is just the faith in Jesus Christ. That's what gets you saved. That's what he's saying. People came into the church after that. You imagine if we had a missionary come in or somebody come in and say, now church, I know your preacher says this, but this is how it's supposed to be. And started trying to add to it. That would be confusing to the church. That's why Paul is writing this letter. He's trying to explain to them, works doesn't have anything to do with it. Works feels good when you do them. What if you get up that day and you're off and you're not doing any works? You'd probably doubt your salvation quite a bit, wouldn't you? I think that's what happens a lot of times. Somebody might have a good day or an up day and feel good about things, but then if you're having a down day, you might feel down about it and then wonder if you even saved it all. It's not about feelings, it's about faith. That's what Paul's teaching here. He's showing us. He says, but I certify you. He puts it in writing. He's writing to this church that the gospel where he actually got it from, he said, I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He's making it pretty plain where he got it from. It wasn't something he talked to somebody about and said, hey, let's put this together. And he got it straight from Jesus Christ. You imagine what that was like. You can look back in Acts chapter 9. I won't go there for the sake of time. But you look back in Acts chapter 9 and you look at how God presented himself to Paul. Do you think Paul saw at that time, do you think he was looking for God? Do you think he was looking for him? Let's don't forget who he was at that time. If you don't think that God doesn't reveal himself to people, we're sadly mistaken. You look at this, Paul, he was absolutely against the church, going the absolute opposite direction, and God, through his mercy and grace, sought Saul out to touch his heart and got his attention. Let me tell you this morning, if the Lord is dealing with your heart, he's trying to get your attention. Don't don't push that away. Don't be afraid of that. Don't push it away. The Lord is wanting you to learn something about Him. But He's saying, but I certify unto you, I make it clear unto you, brethren, that the gospel which I preached of, which was preached of me is not after man. The gospel that He's preaching, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the remissions of sin, asking God for forgiveness through Jesus Christ is what He's talking about. Nothing about works. For neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the disclosing. Jesus Christ Himself disclosed that to Paul. You got to think, this was before the New Testament was written. We had to get it somewhere. Paul is the apostle unto the Gentiles. That's a blessing unto us. Again, the oracles of God was held by the Jewish people. They're the ones who had the law. They had the word of God. You see the animosity that was between the Jewish people and the Gentile people. And, you know, that's kind of remarkable. And I think that's why the Lord dealt with Paul the way that He did. To see the importance, to see and understand how a people needed the Lord. You know, Paul had to understand that first. As zealous as he was, as against the church as he was when the Lord humbled him and showed him his need of salvation, don't you think that helped Paul in showing other people their need of salvation? If we never get to that place of understanding how much that we need the Lord, it'd be very hard to be saved. You would be living in your own self-righteousness. You can see that with people from time to time. You can see what that looks like, and it's not a good thing. But you can read again in Acts chapter number 9 and see Paul's conversion. When you see the Saul to Paul, a change took place. He got it straight from the Lord. Look at verses 13 and 14. For ye have heard of my conversation. Number one, you saw there in verse 11, you see Paul's certification or how he certifies. Number two, you're going to see here in verses 13 and 14, you're going to see Paul's conversation. You're going to see kind of what he was about. This was his behavior toward the church. He's really laying it out here for this church, the people at Galatia, to understand what he's about. You know, it took a little bit for them to go from realizing who Paul was, who Saul was, and who Paul is. I think we see that in this day and time sometimes with people. We think, my goodness, that person has accepted the Lord. Well, time will tell. Time will tell with every single one of us if you're looking on the outward signs. It will tell on all of us. Paul's given his credentials here. He's given his testimony here. He's trying to explain to them exactly how he came to be. And it says here again, verse 13, says, for ye have heard of my conversation, that's his behavior, in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Verse 14, I'll go ahead and read it. And it said it profited the Jews and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. Paul was a zealous person. He was in hot pursuit. When he set his mind to something, that's what he was going to do. Now, I've said this before, Brother Tim, I've said it before, but before you get in hot pursuit, you better make sure you're going in the right direction. You can outrun the fire. Let's put it that way. I've heard this example used. Being in law enforcement, carrying a radio, I know exactly what it's like. You hear the sirens, everybody gets excited, you see the lights and people flying down the road, and I've heard officers talking about how fast they're going down the road on the radio, and then I hear them say, where are we going? Why are you driving so fast if you don't know where you're going? That's dangerous. What are we chasing for? What are we doing? Where are we going? You need to know. See, Paul's given his credentials here. He's in hot pursuit, but when he was in hot pursuit at the beginning, he was in hot pursuit of the wrong direction. He didn't know it. He didn't understand it out of his ignorance. He thought he was doing right by being in the Jewish religion. That's his words that he's used here. He thought he was doing right, but look what he did to the church. He laid waste to the church. He wanted to stop anything that had to be done through the church. He wanted to stop it. You've heard my conversation, my behavior in time past with the Jews' religion, that how beyond measure I persecuted the church. If you read in Acts chapter number 8, verses 1 through 3, That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to shut down anything that had to do with the church. Now, why would God want to use somebody like that? Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Why would God take somebody like that and try to convert them into something better? Maybe just to show the world that he could? Maybe that one out there that says, no, God could never save me. I'm so mean, I'm so wicked, he could never save me. Yeah, he can. If you accept him, he'll save you. You repent of your sins, you accept his beloved son, Jesus Christ, he will save you. It's not his will that anybody should perish. It's what he wants. That's the design. That's the purpose. And that is his plan. I think that's what is so remarkable about Paul's conversion that you see here. You see how his conversation was. When he was a Jew, he was a Jew of the Jew. He was very patriotic. He followed the letter of the law. He was one of those Pharisees, a Sadducee, a Sanhedrin. He was one that would be in there studying and doing all these things and following the religion to the T. He called it a religion. I'm not downplaying it. That's what he called it. And he persecuted the church of God and wasted. Now, I looked at the word wasted, and there's a couple of different definitions you can give. It means desolated, ruined, destroyed. He literally did those things. He destroyed the church. He did everything he could. Arrested people, I believe they say, killed people, arrested people, anything he could to stop the forward motion of the gospel. One other word or one other definition for the word wasted is also lost through negligence. Now I know we spent a lot of time in church last week. Amen? That's good, wasn't it? Did you waste any time last week? Day after day? You ever get just kind of settled in? Just kind of like this is the norm? I think life can get so busy sometimes we do just want to kind of settle in and just kind of have what we would call the norm because if we're busy, we get tired, all these kind of things. But if you're not careful, you will make your own traditions and that will become your religion. I'm telling you the truth. You know what I've noticed over years, pastoring, preaching, and something like that, it's amazing. It's amazing to me what gets the amens and what don't get the amens. There are certain things a preacher can call out, and buddy, people will amen it. They'll get excited about it because it's like, yes, I know that, and I get excited about it. And there's other things, it's like, yes, that's not my sin. It's somebody else's sin, so I can amen that. Boy, you start getting on somebody else's sin and everything gets quiet. It's funny. I'm just going to be honest. You know, you hear people talking about men having long hair. Amen, that's wrong. Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. Bible says not to do that. See, you get a lot of amens out of that. Right? Amen. The Bible says you're not supposed to overeat. Had to, didn't you, brother? We're eating after church today, right? What about that? Is that just as important as having the long hair for men? Is that just as important? Why does it not get the same reaction? It's very easy to make your own tradition of things that we count as wrong or that we hold on to that is wrong and neglect other things. Brandy asked me a question. A lot of questions came up through last week and trying to study through things. And you look at the law, what it says. Again, 613 laws, that's a lot. You're going to break them sooner or later. But you go back and you look at it and you see all those things. And she asked me, she said, well, why do we hold to some of those things and not all of those things? And I said, well, first and foremost, we're no longer under the law. You've accepted Jesus Christ, you're free. You've been set free. That's what the Bible says. That's what it teaches. You've been set free to live for him. You're no longer under the law. We're under the time of grace. But you know, those are things that we hold on to in the Word of God that he says, don't do this. Even if he said it in the Old Testament, there's things that he said there that I still wouldn't do, would you? God called something an abomination in the Old Testament. I think I'd just go ahead and hold on to it and say, yeah, I don't think I want anything to do with that. But if we're going to jump on some things, we've got to jump on all the things. Not just the things that we perceive that other people are doing and that we perceive we're not doing.
We're breaking our own rules. If we're not careful, we're going to become self-righteous. I see a lot of comparison. As the more I've studied, I've seen a lot of comparison in the Old Testament under the law, and then sometimes I see a comparison to the modern day church. If we're not careful, we're kind of being the same. Where they were saying you had to follow the letter of the law, if we're not careful, we're going to make our own little law book, and we're going to say if you're going to be a Christian, then you have to follow these laws. Did Jesus Christ say that? Or did he set you free? After you're set free, you're supposed to live for him. You're supposed to follow him, do what he'd have you to do. He set you free because he knows that you couldn't follow the law. But there's certain things that we take in and we pull in. You see here again, wasted. That means lost through negligence also. If we're not careful, we're going to make our own little rule book. You remember, think about this. Think about what he said. Modern day Judaism, what do they do now that there's no temple? Now that there's no more sacrifices that's being held, what do they do? What did he say? Brother Freed said they created their own set of laws, did they not? Own set of rules that they would follow. And I meant to ask him, time got away, and I may still ask him. I'm like, well, did they write it? Is there another book? If it's not in there, it's not worth anything. Where did that come from? What did they do? Where did these rules and how to do something to make themselves feel like they were doing something? That is a religion. That's how man tries to act like he's doing something for God or even for a God. A religion is just so broad. It's not even talking about just Christianity. I would not want what I have with the Lord to become a religion. I want it to be pure. I want it to be what he wants it to be. You know, that means we got to learn and study throughout the rest of our life. I want to know more about him every day. Not just what I think I heard sometime back. Again, talking about the old corn. What about the new corn? The new things, again, when they went in the land and they ate of the new fruit of that year, the new fruit of the land, we got to grow new fruit if we're going to grow up and be Christians like he wants us to be. It can't be just we've always done this and it's always that. We need to make sure that it absolutely aligns with the Word of God and not public opinion. This is one of the things he said here. Verse 14, and it said, and profited the Jews' religion above many of my equals. He was so zealous that he really worked so hard in the Jewish religion that he was raised up. I mean, he did so much for his own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. That's a big word, traditions. I think sometimes it sounds good. Sometimes you say, I'm a traditionalist. I hold to traditional beliefs. Things like that, it sounds good. But did you ever look up the definition of the word tradition? I thought that was interesting. It means the delivery of opinions, doctrines, rites, and customs. Now, you did see doctrines in there, but the first word that shows up is opinions. I thought that was very interesting. I think a lot of times that's what gets shared more than anything is people's opinions. That's a dangerous thing to do. Any opinion that we have should actually go back. We should be able to show a person the Word of God, the verse in the Word of God first, and say, this is why I'm telling you this. This is what the Word of God says. Not Jasonology. It should be the Word of God. That's important. So important. People lose sight of that, and if you're not careful, you'll have your own little book of opinions, doctrines, rites, and customs, things that you do. You know what that sounds like to me? Religion. How many ordinances are there in the Word of God? Two. Lord's Supper and baptism, right? Don't have to add to it. Definitely shouldn't take away from it. That's simple to keep. It's easy to make things up and try to feel like we're doing something. And Paul, that's what he was saying here. He was so wrapped up to it during this time that he couldn't see what the Lord wanted him to see. But aren't you glad the Lord touched his heart? Aren't you glad the Lord touched your heart? You could be here lost this morning. You could not even be here this morning. This might not even be anything important to you. But you're here. Isn't that a blessing to think about? Paul goes back, and I...
returning, and the title this morning was Return to Your Conversion. That's what Paul does here. I thought this was something, how far he went back. He goes all the way back to his conception, verse 15 and 16. It says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see, he was able to see that at that point. He didn't know at that time. He lived the first part of his life against the church. Boy, don't you think he can see God's grace now? If you're here this morning, that's a testimony to God's grace. I'm telling you, growing up, I did some stupid things. It's just by the grace of God that I'm here. I'm not trying to brag on doing stupid things, but I'm just being honest with you. It's just by his grace. You get to be here, get to be with one another, study his word, grow closer to him. It's his grace. There's nothing else short of that. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, this is the precious thing here, to reveal his son in me. To go back to that day, to go back to that time, to reveal Jesus Christ in him and to him. That was a direct delivery. I can remember, I don't know how many times I heard the gospel. I don't know how many times I went to church before I accepted Christ. That, you know, that doesn't matter. People, you can't put a, you can only hear it X amount of times. You don't, it ain't like that. It does have to go from here into here, though. You have to get to that place. There's a lot of things that can swirl around in here that doesn't mean it's down here. It's got to land in the heart. You've got to see the importance of that. But great was the day when the Lord showed me and revealed it to me that Sunday. I just remember it so clearly, just what that was like. To go to church blinded. To go to church not being able to see. Everything was blurry. I'm just giving you the physical aspects of it, but spiritually it applies as well. It was blurry. I couldn't see. I didn't understand things. I was seeking, but I didn't understand. You say, preacher, you said he saw you. He did, but after he started seeking me, I wanted to see what he wanted to know. I wanted to see why he was dealing with me. And more he dealt with my heart and turned in my heart and turned in my heart, that was Jesus Christ revealing himself to me. That's what that is. If you're here this morning and he's dealing with you, that's what he's doing. I'm not saying that's a comfortable feeling, but that's what he's doing. He's wanting you to see your need. I think a lot about Cornelius this week. I believe he was a Roman soldier, or he was a soldier, and he wanted to know more about God. Maybe he was Jewish. He wanted to know more about God. And here he was, and he started praying. His alms went before God. He's trying to be a good man in his own right, but he wanted to get it right. And you know what God did? God saw his prayer, heard his prayer, saw what he was doing, and he sent somebody to him. If somebody wants to know the Lord is going to send somebody to them. I promise you that. We have evidence of that in God's word. See, that's the same thing that happened to me that night. I wanted to know more about the Lord. He sent the Holy Spirit to come help me. What a blessing that is. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to leave you out there to try to wonder what's going on. He will come to you to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Now this is good. I really like this. As a preacher, I really like this. Because I want to tell you something. If the Lord is dealing with a man about preaching, you cannot confer with flesh and blood. Paul had it right. When Paul was talking about what was going on and how the Lord was dealing with him, he knew where he needed to go. People can tell you anything. People will. I remember when I surrendered to preach, there's a few of us around that time, and yes, we absolutely talked to each other. That's good. It's good to have somebody to talk to. But I want to tell you something. Grandma can't call you to preach. Grandpa can't call you to preach. Mama can't call you to preach. Your pastor can't call you to preach. There are some things you have to hear directly from Jesus Christ himself. He's very clear on that. Paul had it right here. He did not confer. He did not consult with any flesh and blood when the Lord was dealing with him. And again, this is what he's talking about. When It said, to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Look at what he said here, verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem. So that's his heritage. That's his home people. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to the Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, the teachers. He didn't go to any of those people. Well, that'd be the first place a lot of people would go. He didn't do that. Sometimes people will tell you what they want to hear. What you want to hear. He needed to hear it. He needed to get it straight. He needed to get it direct. And I'd never seen this before. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were the apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I thought that was kind of neat. See, that's what I think would do us some good, returning to your conversion. Have you ever done that? I'm not talking about just thinking about it a minute, but when you think about everything in life, where you are today, how things can get mixed and mingled up. There's a lot of things that we take in here. Probably don't need to be there, but we can get things mixed up, confused, sideways. That's why Paul wrote so many letters to these churches to straighten them out. So where did Paul go? He didn't go back. He didn't talk to his best friends, his buddies. He didn't go and talk to the apostles. He didn't go to Jerusalem. Where did he go? He went back to where he was converted. You ever think about that, Brother Allen? You ever have to do that? I mean, think about that. You know, we do restarts in this day and time. That fixes a lot of things. Used to work at Verizon. Those phones, when they go down, first thing they're going to tell you, have you turned it off and back on? That's the first thing they tell you. If that don't work, have you taken the batteries out? Now, a lot of times, things don't have batteries that you can take out anymore. But where did Paul go? I tell you, the blessings in this, if you get it, if you'll follow me, I pray and trust that you will. Paul went back to where he was converted. What was he recounting? He's recounting the day that he got saved. If that won't set things in order, I don't know what will. Things we think we know, things that we are trying to figure out, you go back to the purest form of what that was. I was just a 12-year-old lost boy. Lord had been dealing with me. I was just lost. I knew I needed something. I wasn't happy. I wasn't content. I couldn't sleep. I didn't have any peace. If you don't have peace, you need Jesus, by the way. A lot of people will say they're not at peace, not at rest. The Lord will give you rest. He's so good at that. Even when everything around you is all mixed and mingled up, He'll give you that peace and that rest because you can rest in Him. You can. If you're saved, you can rest in Him. Little boy couldn't sleep. Ask mom and dad questions. I've given my testimony. That's what being a witness is about. There's people here that needs to hear it. You know, there's lost people here today that needs to be saved. Pray for them. Praise the Lord. I just remember exactly what that was like. It was so clear. Just Paul going back to his place of conversion on the Damascus Road, Acts chapter number 9. I go back to Mountaindale Baptist Church, August 14th, 1988. It's good to go back to those places. Have you ever done that? Say, Lord, I need to be realigned in my life. There's all this going on. I need things to be simplified. I just want to live for you. He said you can do that with childlike faith. You know, that's all I had. Miss Jan, that's all I had. Childlike faith. I didn't have no big idea about theology, know all this stuff about the Lord. I was trying to figure things out, trying to learn things. And all of a sudden, the Lord was dealing with my heart. And He said, you know what? If you don't get saved, you will not go to heaven. And Jesus started speaking to my heart direct. Never forget it. It's that important. He's doing that this morning. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. If you're questioning if you're saved or not, if you know you're lost and you want to be saved and you know you need to be saved because Jesus Christ is your only hope, He is dealing with you right now. And you know that. Today could be your day of salvation. Very simple. All you got to do is trust Him, believe Him, accept Him, ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. You know, that's one of the things that He did with me. He showed me that I was wrong. Yeah, a little 12-year-old boy had things in there that shouldn't be in there. That's part of this human nature that we have. But He went back. I'm going to close here in Psalm chapter number 51. I just want to read a few verses about how David, you think about David and all the things in his life that he had going on. He had a lot of things going on. David was an older man. He'd experienced some things. Psalm 51, verses 6 through 13. Think about David. You think there's times in David's life that he returned to his conversion, thinking about his relationship with God and how important that was and how to have the right relationship with Him? You know, the saddest thing about returning to your conversion would be if you're lost and you can't return to that. Thank God, I know that I know that I know. Psalm 51:6, it says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." He's doing business with the Lord. He's praying. All the things he went through, he needed guidance from God. And this is what he said here. He wanted his heart to be right. He wanted his heart to be clean. He didn't want it to be mixed with anything. That's what the word pure means. Not mixed with anything. If you're not careful, we get things mixed in there. It's not supposed to be there, and it leads us down the wrong path. He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities." Verse number 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold with me thy free spirit." Now pay attention to this. "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." That's powerful. Talking about conversion. You know, there's people, I say this here, every heart here should be burdened for our lost people. Sometimes I think it's easy to lose a burden with all the things that's going on. There's lost people here that needs our witness and our prayers. What was David saying here? He's saying, "Lord, help me to be right so I can reach these lost people." That's what he's saying. He's taking accountability. You know, it's easy to kind of put it off somewhere, but this is our responsibility. This is our children. This is our church. This is our family members. David is talking about the importance here, "and sinners shall be converted unto thee." They need to see it in us. It's not for somebody else to do. It's not for somebody else to talk to them. It's about us. That's what Paul's talking about here. David is talking about here, our accountability. Think about how important that is. Return to you to your conversion. If you will stand with me this morning, I'll stop here. I'll ask the ladies to come.